from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
See? That's what you get. That's what you get right there. We got TVs in our studio, and one of them is hooked to direct. And so I just showed Dibs what it says if you go to an ABC Disney channel right now on direct, which is where, in theory, the Niners-Jets game would be on Monday night.
Well, it's where the U.S. Open tennis tournament is. Forget Monday night. It's Tuesday afternoon.
Apologies if I care a little bit less about that than the 49er Jet game.
Apologies if I have to occupy myself with live sporting events during the show.
We have a chance for an American man to win the U.S. Open for the first time in 21 years.
This man doesn't care. He's anti-American.
Is his name Aaron Rodgers? Because if it's not, I'm just not that into you. I'm not. I'm sorry. You were gone. I was making. Doc, hang there. 10 seconds. I don't understand how all y'all follow this many things. I get jealous that y'all have that much time. Something was happening in tennis while we were on the air last week.
Yeah.
Bonte's tweeting about it, throwing out people's last. Oh, this is a tough matchup for so and so. I'm like, I don't even know who that is. And he's on vacation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grinding on tennis after
having.
Well,
he went to the tennis.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
But, and also broke off a half hour call to the roast to scream and party about Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
I'm like, did you travel with anybody out there? Are they just sitting there waiting on you while you watch sports? But anyway, yeah, more power to you if you can do it.
Tennis is a classic have it on program for me.
Okay.
Like international soccer, I'm just going to have it on. Tennis, going to have it on. Golf, going to have it on. If it's on, it's going to be on. Yeah. I'm just going to have it on.
I'm all for the background noise, yeah. But anyway. Not that noise.
A lot of that, too.
I don't like that noise. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, and it's time for Cleared to Play, where we take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in our friend, Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. And Doc, great to have you. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, this is the first time in all of our talks that we've had to talk about this kind of an injury, which is a gunshot wound. Unbelievable, and thankfully Ricky's okay, but what is your doctor assessment on his football future after this incident?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think obviously the most important thing, he's alive and avoided major injury. And as Dan was talking about, I think during the crossover, anytime you see a bullet go through that area, you get worried about the lungs, you worry about the heart. So the fact that he is walking out of San Francisco General the next day and potentially was working out, it sounded like based on reports, is pretty remarkable. But unfortunately, in the area we live in, we do see a lot of athletes who do have to deal with gun violence. And one of the key things for these young athletes getting them back to play is, number one, how much damage was done when the bullet went into the muscle. But one thing that's more important with bullet wounds is that there's a lot of energy that gets dissipated around that. So it's not just the structures that get injured, but all the energy that kind of goes around it. So the zone of injury is much bigger. So even though you're worried, is this just his pectoral muscle? Is it just kind of more localized damage? There can be a lot of impact to ligaments and tendons and nerves as well, too. So hopefully everything ends up being okay with him. We're basically just then waiting for that muscle strength to get back, just like any other injury, beyond obviously the mental hurdles and emotional hurdles are there. But in general, when we see athletes like this who haven't broken a bone, there's not any major joint injury potentially, then usually you're landing at 4 to 6 weeks. It's just like any other soft tissue injury. You need to get that area healed. The tough thing is, how confident are you going to be? And, you know, getting a blow to that area, even though necessarily it's not going to be a muscular issue, but just what does that raise emotionally and mentally for an individual? Because I've seen a lot of athletes who suffer these injuries struggle with this when they get back on the field.
I can't imagine, Doc, and I just am so happy that he was able to escape with just minor injuries. I was wondering about the wounds, because you have an exit wound and an entrance wound. Are those going to be healed after 4 weeks, theoretically, to where that shouldn't be a problem with him taking a blow in that area?
Yeah, usually they do. Typically with, and unlike other kind of wounds in the body, typically with gunshot wounds, you usually let them stay open. You don't close them, because you basically want any kind of infection or any material to kind of come out. So it's a little different than a regular wound where you stitch it up and you kind of go. So that can take a little bit longer to heal, but most of these will usually heal in with about 2 weeks. And obviously there is some sensitivity there, but based on, you know, obviously the reports and the videos, this looks like an area that'll be covered with his kind of shoulder pad. So that will give him a little extra protection and hopefully shouldn't be a major issue for him receiving contact and causing a lot of pain.
Unbelievable story. And at least at this point, it's gone as well as we could have hoped. Let's get to the holdouts and what kind of an injury risk they are running. Trent Williams shows up today. You know, obviously a very, very large man, and he's 36 years old. The fact that he missed camp to you means what?
You know, in an ideal world, you know, he'd want 3 to 4 weeks to ramp up, but not super concerned about him. He's got this week. I was a little bit worried if you're suddenly going into Saturday, Sunday, and then he signs, and then you've got 1 or 2 days. I think the big thing for him is, how quickly can you replicate game speed and can he get comfortable? Because if he's not really ready for game speed, then you worry about, will there be some soft tissue things that pop up? But in general, if you look at his career, most of his issues have come kind of week 7, week 8, week 9, when kind of that wear starts building up on him. So for a player like that, actually missing camp may be a little bit of blessing disguise. He's kind of threaded that needle appropriately where he's not wearing down during camp, and then he gets a little bit of time to work into playing. So hopefully it won't be a major issue for him, and he's got enough time to get up to game speed and not worry about those soft tissue injuries building up.
Does the same thing apply in a ramp-up for Brandon Ayuk, or is it more challenging for a guy who's going to be doing a lot more high-speed running and turning and pivoting in the open field?
Yeah, it's definitely more of an issue for Brandon Ayuk, and I think for him, because of the nature of the position he plays, essentially what he's doing is you go from, you know, obviously working out on your own but not going to game speed to suddenly going to a game where you're essentially running a track meet. You have to go full speed, then you got to recover, and then you're running again, and you're worried about getting hit. So there's just a lot of things you can't replicate if he's working out on his own. So for Brandon, I do worry a little bit about that soft tissue injury, the hamstrings and the quad. So if a team's smart about limiting the number of reps he get, I think that'll be less of an issue and kind of ramp him up over a couple weeks. But definitely the concern for Ayuk missing camp is a lot greater than Trent Williams.
Doc Pandya with us, cleared to play. Doc, just a name that we haven't been talking about much because it's kind of over here on the back burner, but I wonder if you could give fans a realistic thought of what Dre Greenlaw's season might look like.
Yeah, so his surgery was February 15th, so he's kind of coming right around that seventh-month mark. And we know that in general, with Achilles injuries, right around 6 months is where you're kind of going from that transition of rehabbing to getting your speed and strength and explosiveness back. You know, it sounds like he's not eligible to return to week 5. I think they put him on the injured list. So that puts him right around that eight-month mark. Where you see athletes starting to return to play is really that 8 to 9 month mark in football. The thing that's really hard to tell is, how confident is he going to be? How quickly is that explosiveness going to come back, particularly at that position where he has to react very quickly? So I do think we will potentially see him back. I think the first couple games back, maybe mid-October, November, it may be him playing a little bit less, maybe not looking as explosive, getting that confidence back. But I think the timing fits him well for him to be an impact the second half of the season. This first half of the season may be a little bit touch and go with him.
Doc, great stuff as always. A really important one that we were looking forward to. Thank you so much.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right. There he is, Doc Pandya. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. It is wild to me, the emotional transition to go from, and I was like laying down and just taking a moment when I opened up my phone and saw the Ricky Pearsall thing over the weekend. To go from that moment to 3 days later, Doc Pandy is like, but 4 to 6 weeks. I'm just like, my head is still spinning.
It's not a sports injury like we normally talk about.
And like when you talk about like, oh yeah, you leave those kinds of wounds open so that they can continue to clear out.
That I did not know.
The whole thing is just wild because the majority of us, right, thankfully in life, I think most people go through life without getting shot. Like, I mean, it's such a dramatic thought that for it to just turn into what it sounds like they're talking about now, like, it's just a wound.
Yeah.
Like anything else. It just heals. And then off we go and we're going to play football again when 3 days ago he's sitting in the arms of an officer asking if he was going to lose his life. It's just, I don't know. It's almost too quick. It's too quick for me to start thinking about football with Ricky.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be 4 weeks. And so, and John Lynch actually mentioned today in his press availability that they had a call to make today because you have to set that going into the week. You have to, you know, either activate somebody or you put them on the 4 week IR, which is what they eventually did because, you know, you weren't going to be sure how quickly. And maybe it takes more than 4 weeks because the PTSD part of it, I didn't really think about because this was not a football injury, but you got shot and you were close to thinking that your life was going to end and turned out to not be as severe as it could have been. And so, yeah, you came back to practice and you feel like, okay, I'm ready to be a football player again. But are you? It's got to be some, like the trauma of getting shot in that way, robbed and shot. I can't imagine.
Okay, this is amazing. Y'all got to hear this. I know you remember what Herm Edwards said to us last time he was on the air. And he said that you gotta be careful with Ricky now because Ricky has one speed. And therefore, he is someone who can get hurt. And he said that to us in the wake of Ricky suffering multiple off-season injuries. Hamstring, there's a shoulder, now it's a recurring shoulder, subluxation sensation. All of this is going on. And Herm said, thank you, Grandy. He said that he spoke to John Lynch ahead of the draft and was like, it's the only thing that I would warn you on with Ricky is he's got that McCaffrey type, like, no, we're going 1,000 miles an hour all the time. Okay. So now take what happened this weekend and flash it forward to this story that John Lynch, in his press availability earlier today, shared about a conversation he had with Ricky about injuries. Check this out.
Some of his earliest concerns is when he could play. He's asking me, he's asking the size. I don't know, you know, this, but the surgeon was there and helping him through those type of thoughts. But, you know, Ricky takes a lot of pride in being available. And, you know, one continues to point out that I promise you, I'm not injury prone, Ricky. This is not being injury prone, like something out of your control happened, and Ricky's going to be great. He's going to be a fantastic player. The times we've seen him out on the play, he's exactly what we envisioned and more, and can't wait to see that take place in due time. But we, first and foremost, we're going to make sure that he's all good and ready to go, for, you know, more than ready by the time we bring him back.
I remember when Jimmy Ward was, quote, injury prone, and Jimmy Garoppolo was injury prone, and Brandon Belt was injury prone, and yet Ricky, getting shot doesn't count.
No. DNP gunshot.
That is over. We're going to put that right over here on the side.
Right. But to, unbelievable. You know, to the story that John Lynch was telling is kind of like what Herm was saying. Like, you got to protect Ricky from himself. And already Ricky gets out of the hospital the next day and he's immediately back at practice and, you know, working on the legs and doing whatever he can to try to stay in shape. And, you know, he knocked on John's door and said, I want to play.
Yeah.
When can I play, guys? And, you know, 4 week IR, but he's going to be able to stay in shape and he's going to be ready to go once he's able to come off this list.
He went to the facility today, bud.
Exactly.
He got shot on Saturday. He's at the facility on Tuesday.
Yeah. Feeling much better. Feeling much better. Working out and trying to stay in shape. So when he's able to come back and play football in the beginning of October.
Well, think about the idea also of just like, oh, you got to protect him from himself. I mean, look, I wasn't there. I don't know what this looked like. I don't know how much of a choice he had. But let's think about someone who was getting robbed. And instead of what most people do, which is, right, just here, take whatever. Just take it. No, Ricky fought with the guy. Like, it all speaks to the same characteristic. And yeah, maybe you do have to protect him from himself a little bit when you got that kind of a mentality.
Right, but you didn't think that you had to protect him from himself, or that he couldn't wear his nice watch, or he couldn't dress up to go buy luggage, because the story is he was buying luggage for the upcoming road trip. And so just getting ready. You know, you got trip to Minnesota for September 15th, game number two. You want to have your luggage all set, and the team's got a virtual bye. They don't practice tomorrow because of the Monday game, and I'm just looking at the schedule here. Thursday, Kyle speaks. That'll be something to keep our ears on, as I'm sure he'll talk about this and Trent and stuff, yep, and Brandon and stuff, and
yep,
just the end of days for the offseason, and how much relief and stuff that he feels and all that. Now he can just focus on football, which is what he likes to do best and stuff. And then Friday, it'll be Brock Purdy, your guy. He'll speak. Yep. We'll get some fresh Purdy. And then Saturday they practice, and then that's it, baby. Let's go.
And,
week one.
Then we head for Santa Clara. Yeah. So earlier you were talking about how a lot of people you know are sort of predicting, I don't know if it's doom and gloom.
No, it's neither doom nor gloom.
But you said what you hear, most people are projecting 10 or 11 wins and a wild card.
Yes.
Is that what you think is going to happen?
I think that they're right on the number. I think the over-under is 11.5.
I think you're right.
So that's a tough one, because on the surface, I look at this team and I look at the amount of talent, and they are as good as last year, if not maybe a click better. You lose Armstead, you get Pooney at right guard, which I think is an upgrade. Other than that, you are mostly comprised the way you were last year. Your defensive line has some new pieces. I think that they made at least lateral moves. So I look at this team, and I look at a kicker who's now going to be in his second year, and you hope that he's more consistent. Shanahan's back, and he's coming off a great year. I look at all those things, and I see a team that should be right in that 11 or 12 win range. But then, Mark, I look a little bit deeper. And you know me, I like to look at the schedule, and I like to point out where the schedule loss is. And they do have a scheduled loss.
Which one?
I'll get to that in a second.
Okay. But
not only do they have a scheduled loss,
that's exciting,
but they have the number one largest net rest disadvantage in football.
Yes. And explain to people what that is.
It means when you play a team, how much rest do they have? How much rest do you have?
Right.
And I looked at the schedule, and they have 8 games where they have less rest than their opponents.
Well, that's half the games.
That is half the game.
It's actually not even half the game. It's less than half the game.
Well, normally you catch some breaks that go your way. The Niners only have 2 breaks. One is you have an 8-day rest advantage when you go to Tampa. You're off the bye. Tampa played the Thursday, so Tampa actually has,
yep,
they've got a good healthy dose of games chunk, and you've got the extra week. And the only other one is at Miami. You have a 3-day advantage because you will have played on the Thursday the previous week. So other than that, you play 1, 2, 3, 4 teams coming off their bye, and you're not.
You're also at a huge rest disadvantage this Monday.
Because of the Super Bowl.
Because the Jets didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't factor that in.
They were done in the first week of January.
The scheduled loss, as I see it, is when you go to Buffalo, and that is, I have it here, that is December 1st. You play at Green Bay the week before, Buffalo's coming off their bye. So, Buffalo's chilling. You go to Green Bay, then you go to Buffalo.
Well, chilling in more ways than one.
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to two of the coldest places in the NFL in late November and early December.
And you play Buffalo when they're coming off their bye.
Yeah.
And that follows a game against Green Bay, which you would think is going to be a very tight, slug it out kind of an affair.
It's an interesting thing, though, because I really do. I do think this. I think that a lot of people are saying that, or you hear it, because that's the only way you can be interesting. I don't think it's interesting to be like, so I think the Niners are going to be good this year. Well, yeah. That's too easy.
Well, I think they're going to be good, but I also think that the Rams are going to be better.
Sure.
And Arizona's better. Seattle's probably about the same, and your schedule's harder.
I disagree. I think Seattle's going to be better. You could sell me on the idea that Seattle would be the second best team in the NFC West. That's possible.
Okay.
Like, they've got new coaching staff.
Well, this division, I think, is going to be a lot tougher than,
agreed,
than what we are normally used to seeing.
How many NFC teams can you just be like, nope, that's not a threat of any way, shape, or form?
I'm looking at their schedule and...
No. In the NFC. Forget who they're playing.
But I was wondering if they played any of those teams.
Okay.
Carolina would be a team that you can just flick off. The New York Giants. Beat it.
Okay.
The Washington Commanders, I don't think, are going to be...
See, I'll disagree with you there.
Okay, I don't think that they're going to be...
I don't think they're ready, but I think they're getting interesting fast, and we don't know what Jaden Daniels is going to be.
Right. So I'll put them in the same bucket as Chicago. I'll put them in the maybe bucket.
That's fair.
I mean, Chicago's a maybe to me.
What about Minnesota? Sam Darnold's playing quarterback all year.
Yeah, I'm not threatened by them.
Yeah.
I would put them in the probably not. Like, I would look at four or five teams at the top, and then you look at another three or four or five teams in that second tier, including Atlanta.
I think it's 2.5 teams that you can legitimately be like, there's no chance that they scare you. You mentioned them, Carolina and the Giants,
right,
and maybe Minnesota.
Okay.
Outside of that, everybody will give you a game. They'll give you a game.
And I'm looking at their schedule of NFC opponents, and the only team in that list they play is Minnesota in week two.
Yep.
You get the Rams twice, obviously. Arizona and Seattle twice, obviously. You've got Dallas at home, and that game, they're coming off the bye. And I know everyone wants to laugh at Dallas, how we've got ownage on Dallas and all the rest of it. That'll be the Niners' eighth game in 8 weeks, and Dallas is coming off a bye.
Yep.
And you're coming off the Kansas City game.
I'd argue the Niners need to have, it doesn't need to be perfect at all, but like a good start. I mean, think about those first six games, right? You got the Jets on Monday, then you got a roadie to Minnesota, but like, come on, you should beat that team. At the Rams. Now, I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, it's a virtual home game.
Right?
It's a VHG.
But then you're home to New England and home to Arizona before then going to Seattle. After that comes Kansas City and Dallas, and things start coming at you real fast. In those first six, Niners better be at least 4-2.
Yeah, I think you'd want to even be 5-1,
well, yeah,
honestly.
You want to be 6-0. But like,
of course.
Yeah, I'm with you. But like... The season could get scary quick if you came out of there 3-3 or worse.
Even 4-2, I think it gets a little scary because you've got the Green Bay Buffalo back-to-back, as mentioned. Chicago by December 8th. We haven't even mentioned Chicago. Everybody's high on Chicago.
Yep.
And you get to December 8th and you figure their rookie quarterback has had almost a full season to get better. Then you go to Miami, which... Miami should be better. You just never know. And you got Detroit still.
Yeah, and those games for me, those ones that are like back half of the schedule, I'm like, I don't even know who's playing in those games. Somebody else's quarterback get hurt? Did your guys get hurt? I don't know. And sure, we don't even know that by week six. We don't know that by week two. We don't know that by the second half of week one. But my point is that those first six games offer, I think, the softest portion of the schedule on paper. So,
I'd even say the first five. I mean, the trip to Seattle's never easy.
No, it's not easy, but I mean, it's, you know, after that, when you go Kansas City, Dallas, and then a bye week, and then a road trip to Tampa, who's a tough defense. That's a hard defense, the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, and then as you said, then it's just flanked by Green Bay and Buffalo and Miami and Detroit and all this stuff out there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it'd be good. It'd be good to not start slow.
And this feels to me like it's an 11-6, and that might be enough to win the division. Might be in tiebreaker country. I don't know if the Rams can win 12. I don't know if Seattle, Arizona can win 12. I don't see that. So 11-6 might be enough to tie with the Rams, and you get to the tiebreaker on who wins the division. But for me, the road to be the number one seed this year is much more difficult than last year.
Well, and I just think in general, 11.5 as a win total, and there's only two teams that have that in Vegas, and it's the Niners and the Chiefs. 11.5, that's really hard to bet the over. Like, that's crazy to where it's like you have at least, at minimum to win, you need 12 wins. That's when things go great. Like, that's really hard. And so things can go wobbly, and you could still largely have a good season and win 11 games, or even 10. And you're going to go to the playoffs if you do that. So I'm with you. Like, I can be as optimistic as possible about the Niners and still think that betting the over on 11.5 is just a bad bet.
Yeah, four teams won more than 11.5 last year.
Yes. But the bet on it?
The Niners, Lions, Cowboys, and the Ravens.
But nobody won 13.
The Ravens.
Oh, okay.
The Ravens won 13.
Nobody in the NFC won 13.
Yeah.
So, like, all of those wins by half.
Exactly.
It's just too hot. Join.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
95.7 The Game personalities at Harding Park this Friday for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament, benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ACCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's local family-owned pest control company. Okay, what kind of season do you think is on tap? 888-957-9570. And if you missed what I think was a very important comment from Brandon Ayuk today, we'll play that next on Willard and Dibs.
Back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
This is where you come to get great questions and hopefully great answers. Because if all you're doing is asking great questions and not getting great answers, it's less fun.
What's the point? You know? Questions are too hard.
That's a great question.
Thank you. Now, before we move back to what we were talking about, and there's two things we really want you to hear in the next 5 minutes or so. Brandon Ayuk's comment, Peter Schrager's comment. We'll get to all of it. But can I share two pieces of developing information from the San Francisco Giants?
Please.
One of them is like a kicker story, kind of fun. And this came out from Andy Baggerly. Would like to congratulate the great Darren Ruff. Ruff is on the move! Ruff is on the move! Into retirement.
Okay.
And has been added to the coaching staff at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Omaha!
Okay.
Omaha!
You doing your Manning.
Yeah. So
Omaha!
Darren Ruff, who, by the way, super dude. So that's happening with Darren Ruff.
Exciting.
This next one, and maybe has a little bit more meat on the bone. The Giants, though they would never tell you this, officially today at 2:46 in the afternoon, waved the white flag.
Officially?
Officially.
They canceled all future games, home and road?
They did not cancel the games.
Well, the math is still there, Mark.
It doesn't matter.
How did they wave the white flag? Camilo Duvall back at the closer?
Camilo Duvall is not back at the closer.
Okay.
However, there are a couple of players who are back, and they represent, well, let's see what the young guys do.
Okay.
Which is also known as waving the white flag. So, Luis Matos, Marco Luciano are back on your big league roster. Blake Sable, who was just called up.
Savey saves.
Has been sent back down.
Come on.
And if he's going to hit the Schmidt out of one, he going to do it in Sacramento. Casey Schmidt has been sent down. Now, you may look at this and be
that
like,
career got Schmidt on.
Yeah, well, you got two young guys for two young guys. But that really is what this represents. It represents the Giants saying, look, we are now in data collection mode on two players who at one time or another have been at the top of the Giants prospect board. They've also done some interesting things at the big league level. They've also made people yank hair out of the side of their heads and want to kick Gatorade buckets. And so it's time to spend September finding out if they're going to be a part of the Giants big league roster next year. And that is a white flag waiver.
Yeah, especially if Marco Luciano gets in there and starts at shortstop. I mean, what are we doing? Are we going to DH him? Are we going to try him at second?
Oh, no.
Put him in the outfield, as I have long advocated? What are we doing with Marco Luciano? Because young players, they have to come up and play. They've got to have opportunity. Terrible miss.
That was the worst shot that I've ever had in my entire time at 95.7 the
just
game.
It's a can clanker over there.
Well, it's the first day of the week.
Oh, I just saw it on YouTube in the replay, and you did like a little footage after. Well, it was like, pretty cringeworthy.
Hurry!
So people know, I do an underhand flip with my my sparkling water can when I'm done with it over toward the can. And a good solid 3 feet above the can is where the little heat box is.
Yeah.
And I hit the heat box. It was so high. I tried to use too much backboard. I called bank, but they were closed. And so that's a miss. But anyway, yeah, Marco Luciano and Luis Matos are up. And Giants done gave up, and we're going to see where this goes. By the way, is he in the lineup? Do we have a lineup tonight? Let's get a lineup. I give you $5 if you know who the Giants are playing tonight.
Oh, Arizona.
Oh,
it's a grudge match.
I owe you $5.
I'll take the $5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take it in cash because nobody takes cash anymore.
I do take cash.
That's why I offered it because I have $5 right now.
I'll take it.
And I'm like, I don't even know what to do with it anymore.
I don't traffic in must wins very often, but this feels like a must win for the Giants, Mark. Must sweep.
They all are. If the Giants win out, the math still works.
They don't have to win out for the math to work.
No, they got
to
win out. What is the Giants record? How many
68
losses?
68-70.
68-70?
So if they won their last 24, they would wind up 92-70.
Oh, then they're going to the playoffs.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right.
You want a lineup?
Yeah.
Yastrzemski, Fitzgerald, Ramos.
Okay.
Followed by Chapman, Wade, and Encarnacion.
Okay.
And then rounding out the order, Bailey, Luciano, and McCray.
And where is Luciano playing?
Second base.
Hey!
There you go. Progress.
They put him in the... They gave him a glove. Yeah.
And Bob Melvin has said that they're going to play him a lot at second base this final month of the year.
Well, and that was the pivot. The pivot was, okay, you're not a shortstop. Let's try second base. Do you want to yell pivot? Go ahead and do it.
Pivot!
Okay. So they're going to put him at second base. But I don't want to sound all pessimistic.
That's okay. You already read them their epitaph. You did an obit on the air.
Well, no, not about the Giants.
Oh, about Marco Luciano.
Not about their 24-game win streak that's clearly starting tonight. It was more about the fact that, like, okay, so if you're at shortstop and you can't pick up a ground ball,
right,
and someone goes, let's put him at second, what comes at you when you're at second base sometimes?
And ground balls. That's a great question.
But ground balls.
So different angle, and you do have a little bit more time.
A different angle.
It's a different angle off a righty.
You do. You still have to
I played a ton of second base now.
Brother, so did I.
Yeah.
Now, you got to still do the thing. You like to get the ball, and you get to pick it up and know where to go with it all at the same time.
You have more time at second.
You do.
Because you're closer to first, so you can play a little deeper.
Easier throw.
You can knock that baby down a couple times.
You still have to know what you're supposed to do.
That would be nice.
And it doesn't matter if you know what to do if you don't pick it up. You have to pick
it up.
That's
fair. He's still a young player.
Yes,
I like the player. He's been in pro baseball for 8 years. He's 23.
I'm not trying to be mean to Marco Luciano, but you got to pick up the ball.
It does feel a little bit like this month is kind of make or break because you can't I mean, not that they're going to discard him if he looks bad, but this is a turning point in his career. You've got to show the little things, like you're saying, like runner on first, ground ball to third, who covers second? Second baseman. Feel free to make your way over there off the bat.
Is Melvin like Little League coaching some of these guys? Is that actually what's
happening?
Feels
like it.
Where you know when you have to do that thing? All right. No, hey, Billy, stop. Get your finger out of your... Hey, Billy.
Infielders.
Ask
yourself. Where's the play?
Yeah, get ready stance. Yes. Before every pitch, you ask yourself, where am I going with the ball if the ball is hit to me? Are they really doing that at Oracle Park? Is this what we're doing with Giants baseball?
It's possible.
All right, guys, ready, stance. I mean, if I bought a ticket this month, that might be what I do. I'm just going to go out there.
And it won't be coaching.
It won't be heckling. It'll just be like sarcastic coaching from the stands. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
68 and 70. That's pretty brutal. All right. Check it out. Brandon Ayuk. Okay? This meant something to me. If it doesn't mean anything to you, fine. But I've expressed over the last 2 weeks a very healthy share of frustration with Brandon Ayuk. Certainly the situation, and it's not all on Brandon at all. The 49ers have had many, whatever, questionable approaches this summer. But when you get to August, whether it was 10th or 12th or whatever, and that deal is all the way up in the $30 million range, and then you still skip camp, and you make everybody so frustrated. Like, there are questions to answer, and I loved the way Brandon answered it. Okay? Take a listen to this.
I'm not going to lie. I made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to at the end. it was like that for me. I'm not going to say the whole entire time, but for about the past month, I think we were pretty good.
Okay. So there's two things, and the audio is not perfect, so let me let you know what he said. First of all, he openly says, in the end, I made it more difficult than it needed to be. And then also added, for the last month or so, we've been good. In other words, I ain't trying to get to the Steelers. Really for the whole month of August. Which again, we can question all kinds of things in terms of, then dude, why didn't you just sign?
Yeah, that just real quick, Mark,
okay,
makes me think about the fact that the team said that the offer that was on the table August 12th is the same offer that he signed some weeks later. So he's almost corroborating that in insofar as, you know, since August for the last month, I've been chilling, knowing that this was on the table. And so he wasn't playing because he didn't want to go to camp.
Yeah. Or he thought something was going to happen that never happened. But my point is, because today, I really do feel like today is about acceptance, forgiveness, whatever. It's not like anybody did anything to us personally. I don't need to forgive anybody. But I accept the Niners offseason. I accept Brandon and his agent. I accept Trent Williams. Everything with the 49ers today is about, okay, wipe it clean. Maybe you were mad. Maybe you don't love this contract, that contract, whatever. Wipe it clean. You got a game in 6 days. They are full strength, and a very exciting season is on tap. It's all about that. But I will also add, for me, this helped. That's a big person to stand in front of a microphone after you got $30 million, did a video where you walked in rubbing your hands together with a fountain pen to sign your $30 million a year. For you to come in the next day and the questions are there and you say, my bad. My bad. That means something.
That was kind of a my bad.
I made it more difficult than I needed to. That's a my bad.
And the crowd laughed. So
of course.
I guess it was a my bad, and he doesn't need to apologize to anybody. That was just him basically saying probably that things were a little bit more vocal and loud and dramatic than he probably thought that they were going to be, but he was completely in control of the process. If for the past month he's been, quote, chilling, then it's pretty clear that he just didn't want to go and practice during camp.
I don't know what the motivation was.
Other motivation would be out there.
Yeah, and I will forever be like, dude, that was a mistake. But if you then step to a microphone and go, I made a mistake, I'm going to accept that almost every time. I love that in people.
Oh, sure.
Just be accountable. Sure. There's so much forgiveness. And I don't even just mean sports, but especially if you're a sports celebrity, people want to love you. They want to love you. If you just get real and say things like that, it goes a long way. So I'm not saying it just now suddenly erases everything that's ever happened in this whole summer of frustration, but that's appreciated, don't you think?
It is.
That's appreciated.
I don't know if I would go so far as to, you know, call that an apology. That was just an admission that, you know,
accountability.
Fine. And he made things more difficult than they needed to be. Ha ha ha. Everybody gets to laugh. Let's go play football. And I get it. It's, you know, he made it as difficult as they felt like they needed to make it. And if they could have gotten this money back on August 12th when the offer was reportedly made and the offer, according to sources, didn't change from then to now, that would be my real curiosity is why did you wait until now? And if it's as simple as, well, I didn't want to go to camp, ha, 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 we all laugh again. And I just wonder internally if there is any. No, but I mean, that would be hilarious
it
if
would
he
be
did.
Funny. Because
that's the real answer. I can't imagine any other reason. He was physically in the building.
Yeah. Maybe he thought he was going to get more.
Holding in?
Maybe he thought he was going to. Maybe he wanted to wait for CD.
Okay.
Maybe he wanted to wait for CD. And
he's allowed to do it.
Yeah, and he thought the number would go up. I think it's crazy to think, after all we talked about, I think it's crazy to think that you're going to get an offer of 30 and it's going to go up from there.
Especially when it already went up from 26 reportedly.
Like that's largely what you asked for. And the only reason I feel like we know that is because his personal coach told us, give him the Amon-Ra deal and he's here.
Yeah.
And then they gave him the Amon-Ra deal and he wasn't there. And so that to me was the mistake. And if he wants to own up to that, then we're good.
Well, we're good.
Like you know
dot,
what I mean?
Dot, dot, dot. And we're good as long as you go out there and you hold up your end of the contract.
Play,
and that's where I don't know about the calculation of holding in. If he really thought about the fan part of it and what the ramifications will be among fans if he goes out and has a slow start, if he goes out and goes soft tissue, if he goes out and drops a couple of big passes in a game that you ultimately lose. Fans are still ragging on Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Our very morning show is calling out Nick Bosa as, you know, you better have a better year this year. And, you know, your feet to the fire and all the rest of it because of what happened last offseason.
Do you think that players really, like, I get that their public perception and persona and branding and everything, it matters to them. But it's also funny sometimes. We do this in the media. Boy, we think highly of ourselves. Oh, we're going to hold their feet to the fire.
No, I just think it matters to fans,
Mark.
You
think they feel that?
No.
And I always look at it this way. Dude, you want to pay me $30 million to the year? You can hold my feet in the fire. Like, good Lord.
The fans don't want to be booed, and fans don't want to be jeered, and fans don't want to be crushed on social media.
Nobody wants that.
These people live on social media.
Yeah, but that's what you're getting paid for.
Exactly.
You're getting paid largely not just because you have an unbelievable, rare skill set, but you're now being paid to be a centerpiece and a celebrity, and the eyeballs are on you, and that's going to mean there's no doubt that Brandon's going to get criticized. He's not going to play great.
But he's going to get criticized more than he would have if he signed in March.
Sure, but 17, even if he signed right away in March, you're going to have 17 games, and they're going to look to you like, now you got it? You think you're an elite receiver? Show us.
Yeah, I do think that he gets less of a benefit of the doubt because of the journey that all fans and media were on in trying to, will he or won't he? Is he getting traded? Is he not? I'm out here. I'm holding in. They say they don't want me. Poop emojis and all the rest of it. Because you put yourself out there like that, and you stretch this thing all the way to the deadline.
You know I'm with you.
Fans are going to be looking at him now in a different sort of way when it comes to scrutiny.
No doubt.
That's all.
But I do appreciate him at least saying, I made it
that
a little
was
bit
cool.
more, I made it more difficult than I needed to.
Yeah.
Now, we want you to hear this too. And I think I've made it very clear, at least from my standpoint, I will forever be confused at why Kyle Shanahan is so polarizing. I don't get it. Like, did you hear Mark Schlereth come on our show? Now, granted, he played for Mike Shanahan. He has got a lot of reverence there. But that's yet another person who's put on a uniform and played for Mike Shanahan and knows Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle was an assistant on his team and all this thing. And all he can say is, my God, they're great coaches. Great, like legitimately great coaches. Yet there is still that brigade of 49er fans want to talk about holding feet to the fire. Oh, that choke artist, that can't win the big one, that snooty, arrogant,
there it is.
White suit with Rick Ross, are you kidding me? Snot-nosed Kyle Shanahan. Okay, all right, I don't get it, but if that's you, great, that's you. And then there's this. Peter Schrager, pretty big voice on NFL Network, Good Morning Football, was asked about the pressure cooker and NFL coaches, and he rips this one off.
I look at this past weekend, and Kyle Shanahan, they had a little party with Brandon Ayuk, with Deebo Samuel, mm-hmm. with Rick Ross, the boss, and this is what Kyle wore to the party.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
Now, I've been texting with sources. It was actually a Great Gatsby theme.
Is your source wearing number 17 in that picture?
It might have been Rick Ross, the boss. I might have been it was a Great Gatsby theme.
That's Scott Fitzgerald.
And I think, you know, a guy who's got so much riding on this season as the head coach of the 49ers with contracts, everyone wants it. Purdy's got to get paid at some point. We've got to pay. You know, Talanoa Hufanga has to get paid. All you got. Kyle's coming in there, and he's grown the hair out. Mm-hmm. He bookended his summer with the McCaffrey wedding, where he was wilding out, and this amazing Great Gatsby. This is me saying, hey, I've got the swag. My team's got the swag. You guys could poke holes in us all summer long. We good. Mm. In fact, we Gucci.
Hey, Gucci.
I think Kyle Shanahan's got the most riding on this season. I also feel like he has no doubts that his team is ready to go. I'm going to say the head coach of the defending NFC champions, Kyle Shanahan's got the most on his shoulders, and he's got some hair rocking on it, too. He's growing out that hair, and I respect it, and he was rocking it like Gatsby on Friday night.
Sometimes I have a hard time with when we just see someone in a picture and we've decided that this means this about what they're thinking and who they are as a person and all that. Dude went to a party. Chill.
His party. He throws a party every year for their 53-man roster announcement. Yeah. So you announce the 53, and you have a party, a team party. You've been to team parties.
I've been to team parties.
And this is basically a preseason team party. Let's get together. I used to coach volleyball in high school. Let's all get together at somebody's house, have pizza, and just talk about the year a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Lay out some goals and, you know, get some, we'll vote on our captains.
Like,
it'll be fun.
Peter's right. I've never worn a white suit to a team party. I have never had Rick Ross show up. However, this is the damn San Francisco 49ers. And I don't think if Kyle's hair is a little bit longer, it means that he now got two'd. Like, that's not what, it just means his hair's a little bit longer. And if Kyle is a little arrogant or the Niners are confident, hello, they're the 49ers. I certainly hope they're confident.
Exactly.
Very good football team. You're playing at a high level. You're celebrities. Sure. Go ahead and be confident. There is one thing about the way this was worded, and I really wonder what a lot of you think about this now, because the way he worded it was not hot seat. He didn't use the word pressure. He said Kyle Shanahan, of all NFL coaches, has the most riding on this year. It's a little different. Do you buy that?
That Kyle has the most riding on this year?
Of any NFL coach.
No, I think that there's easy three or four coaches that have more riding on it. Like, you know, for example, the guy in Dallas, Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy's
he's got more
a good
riding
answer.
On it.
Sabat Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni's got more riding on it. I would even say that the opponent in week one, Bobby Salah. Robert Salah's got more riding on it. Because if you have a healthy Aaron and you still don't do great, or if you lose Aaron again and you don't do well, those Jets fans can turn on you. New York City will turn on you.
Can I give you another one?
Yeah.
His name is Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Contract.
No, not his contract. Do you know what people would say about Kyle Shanahan if he did in the NFC Championship game what Dan Campbell did?
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
You're literally calling.
Couple of fourth down conversions. Well, Dan Campbell took this team from an absolute embarrassment on the scrap heap, not single-handedly.
Sure.
What he has done for that team and that city and that entire organization, he could do the same thing again this year, and he'll be criticized, but I still think that he can survive it fine.
Again, I'm not talking necessarily about hot seats and firings.
I get it. You're talking about a lot on his shoulder.
Right, and you're right. The bar is low in Detroit, but oh my God. If anybody really mismanaged a playoff game this year, it was easily Dan Campbell above all other NFL coaches.
But that was the Detroit Lions that had a playoff game.
Absolutely.
I mean, he could have mismanaged that another 14 ways, and they still would throw a parade in his honor.
All right, so 888-957-9570, that's the number. Do you view this as a pressure cooker year for Kyle Shanahan? What is on the line? And how does that compare to other coaches? We can get into that. Is Kyle Shanahan under pressure? How would you answer that? 888-957-9570 is the number. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.